Okay. Kukuruza. That was a Russian bluegrass band called Kukuruza. They toured the United States back in the 90s? Yes, in the 90s. And they are no longer, well, I don't know if they're around or not, but my understanding was they got taken over by the Russian mob, and I guess the rest is history. We have not been taken over by the Russian mob yet. This is Blueberry Broadcasting coming to you live from the Voice of Maine. It is hot and cold. Good morning. My name is Tom, and I'm here in the studio. I'm cleaning the desk, and I bring in my own personal wipes and clean things down. It's a little bit. It gets discolored when you clean it. What does that mean? Not sure. Anyway, I hate to start off today on kind of a down note, but I have to share this because to me it's important. Our friend of the station for many years, Dave Sleeper, the mayor of Mattawamkeag, had passed away last Tuesday. He was 89, and he was a different voice and a good voice, a good man. And I'm sorry to have to say that he passed away, but it happens. He called. I've heard him call in a few times recently, and but we haven't talked to him much here. I've met him a few times, and he was a card. He got around. I was looking here. He worked at Kelly Pontiac in Bangor. He worked for Testa's in Palm Beach, Florida, and Bar Harbor. I mean, guy got around. Foster's Manufacturing up in Mattawamkeag, and good man. Been married for 53 years. 6 grandchildren. 2 great grandchildren. 2 daughters. So, condolences to the family. We'll miss him. We really will. He had a voice of reason. Anyway, like I say, I'm sorry I have to bring it up, but it was important. He was an important guy to us here at the station. Other things that are not equally as important in some senses, maybe in other ways so much so. Out in the outer solar system, how's that for a transition? Our solar system, out beyond Neptune, there's a planet they're calling Planet X. They know there's something out there called Planet X, and it could be in our solar system. Planet X is really a black hole. Not very big, but it's out there. So stay tuned for that one. It's billions of miles away. So I guess we're safe for the time being. It's not pulling us in. At least not yet. Equally, maybe more important, is the fact that I came across a couple things in the news that extreme exercise might dull your brain. So I've put down great efforts to not dull my brain by avoiding extreme exercise. I've always assumed, maybe wrongly, that my daily activities are adequate. And Pete and I have an ongoing thing. I'm just going to look here real quick. We both have iPhones. And if you go to the health setting on your iPhone, you can see how many steps you take any given day. And let's see. If we go back in time to the past 7 days, we get – that's not what I want. That's – steps is what we want. There we go. Well, I want to see the week. There we are. Okay, so it's not been a real active week for me. I've only done a couple miles. Doesn't have it in miles. It had it in miles. Anyway, Pete and I will have a competition. Usually he wins. I think because he walks more when he's not at work. I'm not sure what that means. But generally he wins. Of course, he is about half my age, so maybe that has something to do with it too. Speaking of children, my other child who works with me is my daughter Maria, who I will get to come to the show at some point in time, and it will be worth the wait. And so Maria and I are the people at the shop who clean cars. If we have Pete do it, he does something. He calls cleaning cars. But Maria and I get into them in some detail, Maria being more fastidious than myself. Maria has a rule that she's come up with that children and dogs should not be allowed in automobiles. I think that's a good one. You know, after a while, between the crayons and the lollipops that are stuck in the cup holders that have melted, and God knows what else, straws and spilt milkshakes. I had a car come in yesterday. I picked up yesterday. It's been kicking around. We've had work being done on it. And it's a Highlander hybrid. And on the rear, one of the rear windows, his third row seat, there was spilled milkshake on the window that had congealed. Nobody cleaned it off. I did, finally. I had to scrape it off before I could clean it. I tried, you know, you're trying to wipe it down. And how's your breakfast going, by the way? And have to get out. Finally, I said, stop it, Tom. I'm just wasting cleaning stuff here. Get a razor blade and scrape it off. And that did the trick. Yes, children and dogs. Not necessarily maybe in that order. Yeah. The dogs, you know, they usually just have nose prints on the windows. Those are easier to clean. We got to take a break. It's 8:15. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Yeah.
George Jones, Willie Nelson. And I hope you had a chance last week to watch the Ken Burns Country Music episodes, second half of the program. I think it was six episodes all in, and it went up to 1996. I'm not sure what happens after 1996. I guess country music must have ended or something. But good, really, you know, I'm not a huge country music fan. You may find that hard to believe. I mean, obviously, I play Willie Nelson and George Jones in this case. I haven't been a huge fan. And I watched the program, and just getting the background stories and knowing about these folks and what they did and how they did it and how some of that whiny kind of country music came into being, I found fascinating. And the last episode, which was, I don't know, the 90s, I guess, up to 96, they had, George Strait and what's his name? Garth Brooks, the Judds. And I'm like, I don't want those people. I don't want it. And I was just, I had TV on. I said, oh, it's on. Let me put it on. See. And I just was fascinated. It was interesting. I didn't necessarily enjoy their music much more, but I have a better appreciation for them as artists than I did. And I can say that for the whole episode, for the whole, all the series, the whole series. It was good. If you get a chance to see it, if you missed it, I'm sure they're going to rerun it when they do fundraising endlessly. And it's worth watching if you hadn't had a chance. The only thing I am not happy about is two oversights on my humble opinion. Maybe not so humble opinion. I would like to think it was humble at least. In order of importance, maybe to country music, Glenn Campbell got about 30 seconds. Now, come on. Now, Glenn Campbell, okay, so he's maybe not, he was a pop musician, maybe, but I consider him country. And John Hartford, of course, because Gentle on My Mind was like one of the most recorded songs in the history of recorded music. So you don't mention John Hartford? For those of you who don't know who John Hartford is, he gets played a lot here on the radio show. But John Hartford was a bluegrass musician. He wrote Gentle on My Mind, considered a country song, although he was more bluegrass oriented. And he was, he went over on all one from one end to the other spectrum, but they covered that. No mention of him. Here's where it is ironic for me. The Ken Burns Civil War series, which was outstanding. John Hartford was one of the voiceover artists because he had a little bit of a Southern twang to his voice. And, he would voice Confederate soldier parts mostly. And Come on. How do you make that kind of oversight? I will file a complaint. Doggone, that's what I'm going to do. You can file a complaint, too, at 1-800-966-1039 is our phone number. Our text line is 601-207-4478. If you'd like to text me this morning, that'd be wonderful as well. This past week, I told you I was working on a construction project. I actually got the forms put in and leveled and squared. Now, there were several things along the way here to make this all work as it should. One was the structure is 16 by 20, so it's not huge. But to square it, you need to check it diagonally. And by some major miracle, I found my big tape measure. I've got like 100-foot, 150-foot tape on one of the wind-up things. Somehow, I think Maria found it. I forget where it was. Maybe I didn't even know where it was. Just was given to me one day. Here it is. I voiced a concern, and in the process of moving, it got displaced. So I was able to square the forms up. More importantly, though, we had to get the forms level, which meant putting the form in the hole, taking it out, digging more. And that's not necessarily a big deal, except the forms weigh about 100 pounds each, and I've boogered up my back. Very fine boogering job of hurting my back in the past week here. I didn't want to count how many times they went in and out of the trench I was digging to but they're done. They're backfilled, and I haven't touched it all week. But it is the weekend, so I'll get to play with dirt again. I'm so looking forward to it. And we've got a phone call at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes. Hey, I got a question for you. I'm about to pour a slab.
Yeah.
And I have reinforcement wire down, my text tubing, mm-hmm. and I got it on 2 inches of styrofoam, and I got it setting up on brick, and somebody's telling me that it should be closer to the bottom, the text tubing.
Not necessarily. The rule of thumb is that it should be an inch and a half from any surface, so I think having it sit on a brick is fine.
Okay.
As long as you've got some, you got at least an inch and a half over top of the tubing, you're okay.
Yeah, I'm doing 5-inch floor, so it could give me like an inch and a half over the top.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
So it should be up closer to the top than the bottom.
Well, that's a good question. If it's closer to the top, it's going to respond a little bit quicker. You got all the thermal mass of the concrete around it, so. In a 5-inch slab, I don't think being near the center as you are is going to make that. If it's at the bottom, it might take a little bit longer to heat up. But, we're talking, within 20 minutes, I would say. I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
I think you're in good shape.
All right. Well, the trucks are coming, so I'm going to leave the brick in.
Okay. Well, have fun.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I don't have you. Bye-bye. The slab we're pouring is just going to be for a crawl space, so we're not going to finish it as such. We're just going to screed it with a 18-foot 2x4. Call it good. It's just to have some surface that's not dirt and something that's solid underneath the what would be a crawl space, and it will be insulated. So I forgot to order the rebar mesh yesterday. I've got regular rebar rod. But I want to have mesh as well, and we'll get fiber reinforcement. So, it's cheap, and I think we're going to use like 3 or 4 yards. It's not a lot. It's not a real thick slab. It's going to be about 4 inches because it's not, we're not really doing anything with it other than keeping us out of the dirt. So we'll see. I guess we got to have something to do over the weekend. The day of rest, that whole thing has kind of sailed by me here somewhere. I missed that whole opportunity, although I think I did the forms last weekend in the morning when the sun was, it was hot, I think, on Sunday. And before the sun came around to that side of the building, I was out there and got it done. And then I went inside, took a nap. I think that was right. It's Sunday's the day of rest. I should be resting. I mean, I'm allowed. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Whoa, we can't do that. We'll do this then. We'll take a break. Let's see, where are we queued up? Right there. No, we did George and Willie. We're going to the next. No. I'm just going through. Okay, we'll go here. We come back, we'll take your calls at 1-800-966-1039. It's Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. It's 8:35. It's Hot and Cold on Saturday morning. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line up and running, 601-207-4478. That's 601-207-4478. For those of you who can't talk, don't want to talk, just want to text, we got it. 601-207-4478. Phone again, 1-800-966-1039. I want to tell you about my friend Alan over General Appliance and Brewer. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, he's on Center Street, open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. His phone number is 989-4341, and that's the most important thing you need to know, that phone number, 989-4341. And he will help you make sure your major appliances work properly. That's all I got to tell you. That's enough. Enough said. Not enough flute music on the radio, is there? All right. Let's see. Let's usher Mr. Toll out into the hallway there. Saturday morning now, we're back into Tom drives up from the coast to the radio station here, and it is pitch black dark out. I'm filing a complaint with somebody about this. I'm just not impressed. And the thing that gets me, and I'm sure you've experienced this driving day or night in the dark. Some cars' headlights just get to you. I mean, and a lot of cars now, and I think it's more SUVs than cars because they tend to be higher, maybe trucks too, have LED headlights, which seem to be way brighter than incandescent or halogen headlights even. I find them unpleasant to come up to or have come up behind me. And these are they're on low beam. They're not on high beam. And, you know, I was looking at the state inspection guidelines for headlights, and it doesn't really, you know, it has nothing to do with the intensity other than if it's original manufacturer or equipment, it's okay. Well, apparently somewhere somebody's fumbled here because I find this to be more of a safety issue than anything. I mean, some of these lights are pretty bright, and you know, you'll flash headlights, and usually they're not changing because they can't, because they're low beams. They're not high beams. They're just extremely intense, extremely bright. And am I the only one upset about this? And I don't know who to file the complaint with anyway, because, you know, there's not much you can do if they're made that way. But we'll see. We've got a phone call on line one and line two, so we'll start out on line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Hi.
You know, it's incredible with these lights that we don't have a mandate that they're all the same. I mean, all the safety things we have about automobiles. And now with the cell phones.
Yeah,
all these different color lights is ridiculous.
Well,
I think that's the corporate world that we're talking about. A lot of money being made on these lights.
I think the thing with the lights is the fact that they last longer. They are better lights. There's no doubt about that. The problem is that if you look, and I looked at it this morning, the guidelines, if you're doing headlights on a car, they have to be at least 22 inches off the ground. I think they can be no higher than 48 inches off the ground, unless it's a headlights on a going over a plow blade. That's a big spread, and even if they're straight on, they're lined up properly. They're going to be, especially on an SUV, which is a taller vehicle, it's going to be a challenge to you, to your eyes. And I agree. I think of things that we, you know, of all the things that we get concerned about, I think it's a kind of an important one. And I'll express my opinion on the cell phone thing in a minute. We got some phone calls. I do. You may find it's hard to believe. I do have an opinion on that one, and that's not politics. So we could talk about it. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, a pet peeve of mine is also, a lot of these trucks have driving lamps in the bumpers,
yeah,
and they leave them on all the time. So to me, it's worse than driving around with your high beams.
Well, yeah, I agree.
The lights, you flip the lights at them, and then they get all insulted. Well, just shut off those driving lamps in the bumper. If it's not foggy out, you don't need them on.
Well, I'll go a step further. Tow trucks now have got cascading LED lights that do light shows for you. And I have to say, it's distracting. And I mean, I find it extraordinarily distracting. I understand maybe if you're towing a vehicle, you maybe want some amber lights flashing. But I'm talking about we've got lights going around the cab, on the bumper, and it's just random patterns of flashing, and all LED lights. And it's cool that we have that technology, but at some point, it's a safety issue. And now maybe I'm just an old grumpy guy, but I find it very distracting and almost painful to have it coming at me as I'm driving. So I you know, we'll put that one out there too. Thank you for your call. While there's no calls right now, I'm going to voice my opinion on the cell phone thing. I agree 100% on texting. I have a real problem with using the phone. And I'm going to get myself a Bluetooth something. Or I have a Bluetooth headset, but it covers both ears. I don't want to cover both ears, and I hate those little things that hang off the side of your head, hang on one ear. But I'll give it a try, and I will use it. I've also used my cell phone in the past week on speakerphone in my pocket. I understand we don't want to have people using, we don't want people driving distracted. And I'm sure technology is going to catch up. I have a 2013 Prius that has a hands-free built-in setup, and it is delightful to use. It's a little bit of nanny state here, but ultimately I suppose it's a safety thing. Texting is way out of hand in terms of driving. So maybe that's what we have to do to and perhaps that inconvenience is worth it. It just kind of annoys. And here's what annoys me. Okay, if you ride a motorcycle, you don't have to wear a helmet. You don't have to wear protective clothing. You could drive with sandals on, okay? And you can kill yourself, and you can have an accident, maybe hurt somebody else, and that's okay. But if you're in an automobile, you have all these restrictions on you. It doesn't seem to be even-handed to me. Am I okay? The phones are ringing. Oops. Open a can of worms, Tom. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hello.
Hi.
Tom?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah. This is kind of minor when you put it up against some of the good points that you and callers have just made, but you're talking about a straight finish on that slab for the crawl space.
Yep.
It doesn't take much longer to run a bull float over that, and it makes it a lot more comfortable to get around on all the years that you might have to work on it after. That's the only point I wanted to make.
It's true.
Kind of nitpicky, but
yeah,
it's once you do concrete, it's kind of permanent.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. But then I would have to do the bull flow. I mean, I could do it. We'll see. I'll report back. We're probably another week out before we do it. So last one I did, we just screeded, and it came out reasonably well. It was 16 feet wide buys you the screed board. And taking your time, and you could get pretty nice finish on it. But I understand. And, not my intention to go under there very often either. I try to avoid crawl spaces, even though I could fit. Width-wise, I will fit in a crawl space fine. It's not my desire to do. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you, Tom?
Yeah. Hey, you were talking about the light.
Yeah,
the blinding light situation. The one that really gets me are these yahoos that are out there with these mud vehicles, on the road SUV mud vehicles that like to get out in the woods.
Mm.
And then they've got the LED light bars mounted on the vehicle, either up on the roof or on the front bumper or in the grill. And even though those things are specifically for off-road use only, to encounter one of those coming down the road at night is like you might as well be staring into the sun. It's so bright.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just obnoxious to no end. And, you know, how do you rule things like that? I mean, how are you going to find a police officer and, you know, or do a citizen's arrest or something? It's almost impossible to do it. And, you know, we've got an older population in this state, and your eyes change as you get older, as you're starting to realize, too. And the ability to compensate and cope with that blinding light, either from the, you know, really bright LED headlights or these idiot light bars that people are putting on their vehicles, you know, it just makes for a very hazardous situation. And hate to think about more laws and rules, but yeah, something's probably going to have to be done eventually.
Well, I think it's already a law. It's just an enforcement thing at this point. And if towns are looking for revenue, but you know, it's a hassle for the cops to have to do, but
yeah,
it is a law. And it's like, as I was reading through, I've been reading through the, all the inspection stuff, you know, you're not supposed, your exhaust system's not supposed to be any louder than what it was when car was made. Well,
yeah,
that ship has sailed, boys and girls. I hate to say
yeah
it. And gets through. I'm not quite sure why and how, and I don't even want to talk about motorcycle pipes. So it is. And then we go to the opposite extreme where you have electric cars that they have to make some noise so they don't scare the hell out of people. So, you know, they're coming.
You know, I can remember, you know, go back into the 60s when the DOT laws for the country were that, you know, you could not have a separate headlight unit with a bulb that went inside of it, like the Europeans had had for quite a while.
Yeah.
And you had to have sealed beams. And, of course, you know, I kind of disobeyed that law because I always like to update my lights. But, boy, that's a big difference from where we are now with all these high-intensity, you know, lights that are out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's blinding, absolutely blinding.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Anyway,
okay,
that's my two cents.
Okay,
all
thanks.
Right. Take care.
Take care. Yeah, the you know, the and the kicker has been for years they had halogen bulbs, which most standard headlights now are halogens. Now they're LEDs, but in the middle there was xenon or high intensity light bulbs, and those have given way to the LEDs because they're brighter. The LED and I remember I was thinking about this morning. My daughter, my youngest, had some kind of school project, and I bought an LED flashlight bulb. You know, the old-fashioned, you remember the old-fashioned head flashlights that had two of them D cells in them? Well, this was the bulb that would go in there, but it was an LED, and it was the dimmest damn thing ever. And I think it cost about $10. This was a while ago. It's over 20 years ago. And we have come a long way in terms of the technology. It's absolutely amazing. These light bulbs are just, you know, they save energy. They last an extremely long time. but they, there was someplace this morning. I think it was just a building I drove by, and it had a LED light on the porch. I was on Center Street in Bangor. I was driving down Center Street in Bangor this morning, and there was a porch light on. It didn't have a lens over, you know, a piece of glass or plastic. I want to tell you that thing. I'm driving down the middle of the street. This is off the side of the street on a porch up, and the light was extremely intense. I mean, it was like it really illuminated the porch wonderfully. But I'm like, wow. And it probably was well under 50 watts of energy it was consuming, but it was bright. So from that point of view, from a household point of view, a homeowner point of view, great technology. It's getting a little crazy, though, when it comes to automotive technology. And I'm just wondering if anybody out there with the flashing lights on tow vehicles, you know, just lights on and off, two lights on and off on the top, maybe front and back, so you know when you're towing. But to have the thing rotating and doing all this crazy stuff seems to be a bit much. And I find it makes me think about, you remember folks had talked about people would have epileptic fits induced by video games. That's, I don't play video games, but man, I want to tell you, I really find it distracting. Hopefully nobody has fits other than the kind of fit we're having now. Let's go back over to line two. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I heard you talking about concrete slabs earlier.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm a concrete contractor. I have been for about 45 years.
Yeah.
And I kind of watched the evolution of concrete construction here and how we used to do things and how we do things now.
Yeah.
And my biggest piece of advice to any homeowner out there, if you're going to do anything, don't listen to anybody that doesn't tell you you need a vapor barrier.
Good.
It doesn't matter if you're doing a mud slab, whatever. It's the number one problem with the new houses is the vapor gets up through the slabs and gets into the house and causes all kinds of issues. People think it's their heating system. They think it's ventilation. They think it's other stuff. I still see builders out there fighting the vapor barrier thing or using the old 6 mil poly.
Yeah.
And you need 10 mil or better. And I tell it to people every chance I get because I'm watching all these extreme amounts of money get into fixing this problem, and it's really a cheap thing to fix up front. And even with styrofoam, put a vapor barrier underneath it.
It's cheap insurance. I agree. Matter of fact, I've got a roll of 30 mil plastic that is going underneath this slab. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cheap, and it doesn't have to be 30 mil. It's just something I have because we have more plastic than brains, I think, but we've got a lot. So we're going to, it was for a project and I have enough left over. I'm trying to think there was, there's a blue vapor barrier that they sell. And I lost.
There's a whole bunch of them now. The one I know by name is Stego Wrap. That's a yellow one.
Okay.
But there's a blue one. There's a black one. But the main thing I tell everybody is 10 mil minimum.
Yeah.
Overlap them. Overlap your seams a foot. If they tell you 6 inches, do double what they tell you.
Yeah.
And don't let your concrete guy poke holes in it to drain the water out so he can get home sooner. It doesn't make much difference of more than an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah, good. I appreciate that.
I can't say it enough. I don't make a nickel off poly.
Yeah.
I just think the consumers are being misled constantly by concrete contractors, and it drives me nuts.
I agree. Okay, thank you. Appreciate your call.
Have a great day.
See ya. Yeah, it's very important. And it's a belt, for me, it's belt and suspenders, the vapor barrier and the foam. It's cheap insurance. And the foam becomes a physical, forget about insulating for a minute. It becomes a physical barrier to segregate the slab from the subgrade, the plastic underneath it, you know. So you spend maybe $50, $100 extra, as the caller said, versus having a problem. And I'll give you a good example. When Dick Hill was alive, this is going back a few years now, he got hired by a high school that had a moisture problem. Gym floor buckled. They took it up. Subfloor was plywood. That was completely rotted. This is like a three-year-old building. Radiant floor. And what happened was they got sold a bill of goods using foil-faced bubble wrap for their insulation / vapor barrier. And it did neither. And what happened was it was a radiant floor. Radiant floor is operating. Slab dries out. It is now drier than the subgrade. It was on a wet site. And all it did was pump moisture out of the subgrade up into the gym floor. The gym floor buckled, failed. They put 10 mil poly over the surface of the gym floor before they put the plywood down. Didn't matter. The 10 mil poly punctured because it's 10 mil. And it's polyethylene. It's not very strong plastic. It's not the way to do it. That's the backwards way. The concern I had beyond that was the rest of the school was built the same way and was carpeted. So now we're pumping moisture up into the carpeting, which is a nice place to grow stuff. And in my book, you don't use carpeting in schools. I understand why you might want to have it. It's you know, it seems cleaner. It's not slippery, but you know, when we were, this is a manifestation of more recent times putting carpeting in schools. Put down linoleum, put down vinyl, put down something that you can clean regularly and not have it hold moisture, dirt, dust mites, and the rest. We've got a whole bunch of text messages that came in. I'll get into a couple of them here. We got a break pretty quick here. Those headlights are dangerous, but it seems to be less. Did they get the message? No, they're just you're not getting out as much when it's dark out. Is it possible you were driving a Prius? I absolutely was driving a Prius. That's what I drive. That's not the point. If I was in an SUV, I drive SUVs, I drive trucks. Headlights are headlights. And they are, you know, some are fine. I had a truck behind me this morning, and it had one had LED lights, one had regular lights. Guess which one was driving me crazy? Anyway, we got to take a break. Speaking of driving people crazy, we'll be right back. It's hot and cold. Stay with us. Okay, excuse me, ooh, baby, that's how you start the second hour of the radio show. I'm not worried. Stevie is, but that's okay. All right, we're back. It's a hot and cold Saturday morning. I'm Tom. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. Let's see. Okay, I can get rid of that one. We played that song, right? Okay. So this past week has been, the past month or so, month and a half, we've been really busy with tank orders. People from all over the country are ordering tanks and heat exchangers. And, you know, so I have to stop cars and put on my tank making hat, and we got to clean the shop to make the tanks. And so, we did that. We have to make heat exchangers, too. We make heat exchangers out of corrugated stainless steel. And it's a relatively thin wall material, but stainless steel is pretty rugged stuff. So I was getting ready to wind the coil with Pete, and I just hit the edge of the stupid coil and sliced, I mean, just did a nice job of cutting into a hunk of my thumb. So I go back to the office and get the Band-Aids and the Neosporin, and Maria freaks out, and I put the Band-Aids on, and I go back to work. I say, okay, stupid, make sure you wear your doggone gloves. I don't think I used that exact word, but I'm wearing the gloves. Next day, I have a coil. The coils come wrapped. They have a plastic wrap around them. I'm just picking up the coil, setting it from point A to point B. And I just inadvertently, underneath the wrap, there's the cut edge of the tube. And I touch it with my index finger. Oh, not wearing gloves because I'm just, it's wrapped. Excuse me. And so now I've got two of my three banjo picking fingers have got major cuts in them. Of which they've healed, mostly. Except if I hit them right, I'm sure they'll open right up. But it's been a fun week in terms of personal injury, but it could have been worse. And there was not too much bloodshed, so I guess I can't say I made great progress. But anyway, let's do this. Let's go back to the phones. We've got phone calls galore here. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jesse, and I'm calling because you were talking a little while ago about Planet X.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zachariah Sitchin and Carlos Ferrata, Dr. Ferrata, they talked about that a long time ago. But there's another fellow on the Internet. His name is Terrell. It's spelled T-E-R-R-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
Blackstar, B-L-A-C-K-T-S-T-A-R. And he reports, and he's really fascinating. He's a geophysicist or something, or astrophysicist.
Mm.
He talks about something called the Black Star, which is coming in. It should be here about May 17th of the year 2020,
mm-hmm.
and through May 20th. And you can catch him on YouTube under the name Terrell Black Star, or his website, which is Terrell, T terrall03.com. And he gets very specific about what this thing's going to do when it comes in. So you may alert your listeners about that.
Okay. Well, we just did. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
You bet.
Okay. See ya. Yeah. It's a little outside our normal realm, but it's fascinating to think about what's going on out there. And just the fact that we were able to see these incredible images that have been sent back from Neptune and beyond. You notice I've avoided saying Uranus, but I just did, didn't I? let's go to the text messages. It's a radio show. I could say it. It's okay. Let's see. What else? Okay. Yeah. These are commercials. I can't. I can't read your commercials here. Let's go to here's one from Jim, South Bristol. Thinking about when I stopped by your new shop and checked it out, I should have made it bigger, Tom. Lots of room for Priuses and tanks. Don't forget to wear your gloves. Yeah, well, yeah, I should have made it bigger, Jim. It was a question of how much money. I've got 9 acres there, so it will be bigger at some point. But for now, we had to jam in what we could. And honestly, as I've assimilated stuff and put it away and cleaned up, we have a reasonable bit of floor space. But the I guess it was Monday, Maria and I had to do the liners. And the liners require about 20 by 20 floor space. And us crawling around on, we put a tarp down on the floor and then put the plastic liner on that as we do what we need to do to them. And that works out okay, except it kind of stops the car thing. But it stops the car thing anyway because I'm the car guy. So, Pete actually makes the shell of the tank. We have our discrete roles that we've evolved over, God, it's 11 years, I guess, almost 12 years we've been doing this. And we're a pretty well-oiled machine, except for the occasional blood that sheds. Even though we're not truly set up, it works well. But having said that, all the car stuff gets moved out of the shop while we do it. And the liner deal takes the biggest amount of time and not the biggest amount of time, but the biggest amount of space. When Pete's just making the tanks, it's not a big deal. The other catch is we have to put everything on pallets. And I don't have a official forklift. I have borrowed one from my friend Nat, who's a quarter mile down the road, and he's been kind enough to let me have it for a couple of weeks. So we shipped out two tanks on Thursday, and we also sold one of our welders, which we didn't need. I sold it on eBay. I gave it away. It just broke my heart. I made a plastics welder. I bought a shell of a plastics welder. It was 48 inches long, and it was used originally to seal plastic bags in hospitals and places where you would autoclave and sterilize. What they do is they'll sterilize hospital gear, sutures, whatever the heck they do, not sutures, but scalpels and stuff. They'll have it in bags that they seal, and you have to use a welder to seal it. So I bought this shell of a welder, modified it for our use, which was we're welding heavy plastic, and then never used it. It was a backup machine. We never used it. And I mean, the original machine, I think, was about $14,000. I bought it for, I think, $150. I think it was an extra $75 to get it delivered from New Mexico. I put in a fair bit of time and money to make it functional again, and gave it away. But it was taking up floor space, and we weren't going to use it. And the people who needed it, it were good timing. Anyway, so it's out of the way. Pete's happy. I'm okay. The money makes it easier. You know, somebody gives you the money, and you kind of feel all right about it. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. It's 9:15. Going back to the country music thing for a minute, Roger Miller was on the country music Ken Burns thing. He got about a minute. So we're going to give them a minute 45 here with Roger Miller and Andy Williams. That's okay, isn't it? We can play Andy Williams. I think so. Back in town. Yeah. Hey, we're back. It's 9:22. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Mr. Fetz in the background there. And our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. Papa Bear. Tom sent me an email, a text. I said, have I missed the Pete segment of the show? PFC, Pete's fan club members want to know. No, you haven't missed it. Yes, you have, because don't think Pete's going to be on this week. He had a customer coming in right at 9 o'clock, and he's doing his routine for the customer. So if he gets done, we'll have him on. But otherwise, we're winging it this weekend, Tom. So we'll see. I do want to share with you some mechanics mythology, mechanics mythology. But first, we've got a phone call here. Let's get the phone call, and then we'll do that. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning. Hey, when all the leaves and trees are green, you don't want my love? That, I tell you what, crack me right up. Your music is fabulous.
Thanks.
Anyway, my Subaru bit the dust. What do you think of a Chevrolet Impala?
You know, they're decent cars. They're not very expensive, so that's a good thing. And I would just have your mechanic check it out.
Oh, okay. Anyway, you don't want my love? What's going on?
I have to be careful. My wife could be listening, okay?
I know. But she wants your love, yeah. But yeah. That song was so funny.
That's a great song.
Great. Your music is great. Thank you so much. That's okay. What we need now.
Yeah.
Music and all that. Okay?
Thanks, Bungie.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, that is one of my favorite songs, that Roger Miller song. I can't get enough of it. For those of you who are on podcasts, is Roger Miller in the Summertime. Look it up. It's a great song. Hybrid mythology, okay? I have a customer bought a car a week ago. She took it in after she bought it to have a mechanic check it out. It was fine, no problem. It's always interesting when folks have cars looked at because it's almost like some mechanics have to just find something that they can make a case about, which is, you know, if there's something, and, you know, we have a 2-week warranty, but if something serious happens, I do not walk away from people. You know, that's not the thing to do. But anyway, and there was no major issues. But the mechanic, after they were done looking at it, says, well, you know, those hybrids are no good because, you know, you got that keyless thing. That car will start and drive away on its own. I've yet to see. I don't think any car, anybody. I've had cars drive off, but those were electric cars that I made. And it didn't start remotely. It started because I did something stupid. Even if you have a remote starter, but usually a remote starter has to be in park. You know, there's a lot of safeties built in. Car manufacturers don't want to have cars start so they run into your house or run people over. So, unfortunately, and one of the reasons I got into selling hybrid cars was a good friend of mine said, you know, a lot of mechanics don't get them. And, you know, they don't understand what's going on there. And he said, this is kind of up your alley because you've had a lot of electric cars. And I said, well, yeah, I have. And then he took me to a car auction, and I was like, this is cool. Hybrid cars are a different animal. Just because, for no other reason, there's a lot of electronics. And I'll give you an example. When I first started selling cars, I got this really nice cream puff Prius. I mean, this car was absolutely stunningly gorgeous. 207,000 miles on it. Ran perfect. Clean as a whistle. Dealer maintained. When I bought it at auction, it had been detailed. I'm driving this car around. I feel like I'm $1 million. And one day I get in the car, and, you know, there's a display with the odometer, tells you how many miles you're driving and stuff. It's all blank. Car started, but that's all blank. Well, it turns out that, as with many electronic things, if they're in a car and they're banging around for a while, things happen. And turns out it's an easy fix. We can rebuild these. But I realized at that point, this car, which belonged to somebody wealthy from down in Northeast Harbor, had traded it in because they took it to the dealer because it was obvious it was dealer maintained. And the dealer said, you know what? That'd be $1,500, $2,000, God knows what the price is. Wouldn't you rather have a new car? And they bought a new car. So I bought the old car. We had the display fixed. It's an easy fix. And we now fix them in-house. We had to send it out at the time. But that's if that happens to you, and and you don't know any better, you go and you buy a $1,000 replacement display. You've got to do paperwork because now you've changed the odometer because you got a new odometer that's reading zero usually. That becomes a minor issue. But I found this, again, with cars, as we integrate more electronics into automobiles, we have connectors that get corrosion on them. We have wires that occasionally break, sensor wires. Doesn't necessarily mean the car's not running, but it may mean there's a light on that shouldn't be on. Obviously, if there's a warning light on, we have to attend to it. So those things, that ain't changing spark plugs. It's a whole different scenario. You're dealing with the diagnostic computers and some knowledge of electronics to get to the point where you can fix the car and hopefully fix it affordably. We've had several occasions where there's big things that need to be the customer's told needs to be replaced. Turns out it's got a bad plug, and the plug is $50 versus maybe a $1,500 for maybe something like a steering rack. Big difference. And it's just experience. And that's what the other reason why we primarily just work with Priuses, because there's a lot of Priuses out there. They're extremely reliable, so there's a lot of spare parts because they don't break. And when they do break, it's usually something arcane that isn't, you know, if you're working on Malibus, you know, and you laying hands on a 90% of what you do on a Prius is regular car stuff, brakes, struts, no big deal. It's that other 10% that's a challenge. Let's go to the phones. Let's see. Over to line one. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, Tom, I have to apologize for calling in twice, but
oh, that's okay.
Sorry about me. The mechanic talking about the hybrids being no good.
Yeah.
Brought to mind the story that I heard on the news yesterday. It might have been Howie Car Show, but out in California, evidently there was a high-speed police pursuit of someone, and the police department, for some reason, was able to afford a Tesla to use as the patrol chase car.
Mm.
And inevitably, what happened was they drove too far and they ran out of juice and had to give up the pursuit, which I thought was pretty funny.
That is funny. Yeah. I love it. So, I love it. Yeah.
So, hey, and Pete, we miss you. We miss you, Pete.
He's probably not listening, but I will relay the message. He is always He's always tickled when I tell him that he has a fan club.
He has a fan club.
Okay.
Out here, Tom.
Thanks,
Tom. Take care.
See you. Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's the thing about electric cars. They refer to it as range anxiety. If you're not paying attention and you're driving fast, you use a lot more energy to drive fast, because as we move things down the road, we're driving through a fluid. The fluid is air. Okay. And the faster you go, the more resistance you get from the air. So even though a Prius and a Tesla are fairly aerodynamic cars, if you're doing 100 miles an hour versus 50 miles an hour, you've doubled your speed. You probably squaring or cubing the resistance. I don't know the exact physics, but it's exponential. So there's a lot more resistance there to slow the car down and use up more fuel. The car doesn't slow down. You're doing 100. But you're going to use more energy to get you from point A to point B. Speaking of point A, point B, we got to take a break. Let's go right there. Oh, I like this one. It's Hot and Cold. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey, we're back. It's 9:37. It's Hot and Cold on Saturday morning. Good morning again. We probably won't hear from Pete today because he's busy with customers, but I will relay to him your messages of missing him, as it were. And we heard from the Pete Gozy fan club. It seems to be there's more than one of you. There's at least two. I'm counting three, actually, now. So that's progress. Also, got a text message here. We're installing a heat pump in our log home. We don't want to put the white unit on our log wall. Do you have any suggestions? I believe there's alternate schemes. You can have a convector that sits on the floor. You may be able to get a register type setup that would be a vent in the wall or in the floor. You should talk to whoever's doing the installation to see what they can offer you, but there are alternate. I assume you're talking about the inside part of this deal. There's a number. A few years ago, there was just the one option, but there are a number of different outlets for inside the building now that would blend and be relatively hidden. Obviously, some of these are probably going to cost more, but if it's an aesthetic thing, so be it. You need to have it. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text is 601-207-4478, and they said yes inside. So I'm trying to think different names for them, but you could probably look online and just Google mini split alternate inside units and see what you come up with. But there's at least three or four that I can think of offhand that I'm not sure any of them will fit the bill, but there are several options that you have, so don't feel hemmed in. Speaking of options, I got some trim up on our building, our office building down in Stockton Springs. And we picked up two. I sent Pete to do this. Maybe that was the fatal error. I'm not sure. But I needed 2 1x3x8s, and I got 3 1x4x8s for trimming out the door and the corners so we could start shingling, putting shingles up on the front of the building. And he said, "What grade?" And I said, "You know, something not, I don't need clears, you know, or selects or anything." And we spent $35 for these five little pieces of wood. And I'm like, am I just getting old and everything seems really expensive? Or that's a lot of money. I mean, you know, we're talking 8 board feet for the two corners and another 8 board feet for the other. So 16 board feet is over $2 a board foot. For some pine. Ugh. And so I did get online. I was just looking to see cellular PVC. I would have preferred cellular PVC, but I knew it was more, and I knew we were going to stain the shingles, so I figured we'll just get pine and we'll stain the pine too. Let's keep it all, you know, uniform. And the stain does a good job, reasonably good job protecting stuff. But cellular PVC is more money. I have cellular PVC that has set on the ground for, oh man, at least 12 years. I've got some of my house that's been around for 15 years. I've got some at the shop that's sat around for about 12 years on the ground. And nothing bad has happened to it. Now, it is plastic. Plastic has its issues. But if you're in an area where there's a moisture issue, Coast of Maine is a good example. My house, when we did it over, had major infiltration from rain over the years and had been repaired numerous times. So we took great effort to try to minimize that from being an issue and did all the trim with the cellular PVC just to try to mitigate it. So it's I would much prefer to use wood, but there's places I use a lot of wood inside. where it's not exposed to moisture, and very happy with that. Although I'm kind of questioning now if I could afford it. Let's go back to the phones on line one. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Hi.
Hi.
Getting back to the slabs.
Yeah.
With the vapor barrier underneath.
Yes, sir.
I built a garage probably around 1990, and I did not put a vapor barrier underneath, and it's been driving me crazy ever since. Get moisture on the floor during the summer when it's humid.
Yeah.
What can I do with that? Is there anything to do? Other than jackhammer the whole thing up and do it over
again? That would be, I wouldn't do that. But the one solution would be to, I mean, it's a garage, so you're parking cars in it, I assume? Or is it a workspace?
Well, both.
Yeah. The ideal would be to get a layer of foam on top of it, and then if it was just like a workshop, I'd put foam down and put some tongue and groove on top and call it good. It wouldn't be an issue, but you need to bring car in too. So there isn't much you can do at that point. And I'm not sure that it's necessarily moisture migrating up through. It could be, but it could just be that it's on the cold ground underneath and it gets below the dew point certain times of the year when the humidity gets high, and then, you know, it flashes over wet, like, you know, in minutes. It's amazing because our old shop where we used to be on in Searsport on Route 1, it was probably built in the 60s or 70s, and there's no vapor barrier or insulation. And it was moments. When the dew point got to the certain point, it everything was wet.
And that's what happens.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was some kind of like epoxy or something that might have put over it.
Not really.
That could act like a vapor barrier on top.
Yeah, not really, because I think it's more to do with the temperature underneath the slab that's keeping the slab too cool.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't jackhammer it up. You could try coating it. I'm not, and it might help a little bit, but it won't be. You'll still get some moisture there at times.
Okay, I was hoping for a magic pill.
I'm sorry, I don't have one.
All right, thanks.
Okay, take care. Bye bye. But if this was a garage that was being used for workspace or living space or something, not car space, you could foam it and put a layer of tongue and groove on top, and you'd be fine. Because a couple things happen now. The moist air, the moisture in the air can't get to the slab because you've got this foam, layer of foam on top of it. So it will not get it would not get wet. It still might be damp, and I would probably still put a vapor barrier on top of it if I was putting foam over it as well. But that's the one way. That's the solution, unfortunately. The ultimate, if you need to use it for cars, is to get a layer of foam and pour a new slab, a thin slab on top. But that may or may not work. Usually will not. Excuse me. And having said all that, we poured our slab last October. It was covered with ice good part of the winter. We got it dried out around March, around the end of winter. And all summer, it has never had any moisture issue. It's been dry as a whistle. Probably been too dry because we put ice melt on it because we had 2 inches of ice on it and couldn't get it melted any other way. So we now have a very chalky surface, and we do have to coat that at some point. But there has not been a hint of any condensation. Now, I've got 3 inches of foam underneath that slab, but I got it dried out before before we moved in, by running the heat. And it just struck me. I've never seen any condensation. I wasn't expecting to see any. I would be a little disappointed if I did see some, but there's been none. So, it does work, and it is effective. And as the gentleman called in this morning, who is the concrete contractor, you got to do it right. You might get away with it an extremely well-drained substrate, like if you're in a gravel pit or something. But it's not worth the risk if you're trying to make sure this is not happening. It's just a cost. I mean, we're doing 16 by 20, okay? And it's not living space. It's not going to be a heated slab. It's just, as I said earlier, just a slab in the crawl space. I just don't want to be crawling around in dirt. I want some structure there. So we've got 1.5 inches of polyisofoam. Well, 1.75 inches polyisofoam we're putting underneath the slab, which is a little over R10. And that's adequate. And we will have a extremely heavy vapor barrier because I have more plastic than I know what to do with from things we would test different materials for liners or whatever. And as a matter of fact, I think the roll of plastic is in the closet in Pete's house. So don't ask. But it'll be gone soon. And, you know, 320 square feet's not a huge slab. So almost looking forward to have it. It'll be an easy pour. And it's not a very thick slab. And at that point, the next step will then be to build a crawl space, which will be 30 inches high maybe. And the crawl space will be all pressure-treated lumber, and I will cut and fit foam into the cavity. And my first thought was, well, I will have a contractor acquaintance of mine do this. You know, do the whole shell. He could probably have it done in 2 days, 3 days. He's got a crew of three guys, and they move. But I want to cut and fit foam into the cavity of the crawl space, and I know how fast these guys move. And if I have them do it, I'm going to be in the 3 foot, 2.5 foot tall, it isn't 3 feet, 2.5 foot tall crawl space on my back, cutting and fitting foam. I don't know if you've ever cut and fit foam insulation in the wall cavities. It's not my favorite thing in the world to do. It's not as bad as digging a trench to put the forms in, but it's a close second in my book. It's kind of like, well, it just takes time. So I would rather build those walls, cut and fit the foam, then deck the floor over it. I'm not going to do any wiring from underneath. Going to come through the walls. I will have to get underneath there if for some plumbing, but I can deal with that. That's plumbing is pretty quick and easy by comparison to cutting and fitting foam. So we'll see. As a matter of fact, I've got some photographs of it. I will post up on our. We should have that up on the hot and cold. So we should have video of this actually, but we haven't. So we'll at least get some photos up maybe of the project as it's happening so you can see what's going on and we can go from there. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line up, 601-207-4478. We still have time left on the radio program. And I, in case you missed it first hour, I just want to share some sad news that our good friend of the station, Dave Sleeper from Mattawamkeag, the mayor of Mattawamkeag, passed away this past week. He was 89 years old, married for 53 years. And if you knew Dave, you knew you were talking to a nice person. A little quote here, Dave was the best father two little girls could ever have or hope for. I think that says it all. He had two daughters, six grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. So our heart goes out to his family. He will be missed. He was not on as frequently as he was in years gone by. He was always a voice of reason, and he liked to challenge people in a reasonable way. I don't think he was ever malicious. He came in a few times to see me. He'd bring me in like an old Popular Mechanics that had an article from like 1953 on electric cars. And, you know, he didn't have to do that. That was just Dave, though. He would do stuff like that for folks. And I appreciated it. It was interesting meeting him. And, you know, we have a good conversation. And I'll miss him. I miss not hearing from him lately. In the past couple of years, he hasn't called in a lot. Hopefully he was busy doing other things and not just ailing. But he He got around. He was he worked at Testa's in Bar Harbor and in West Palm Beach, as well as Kelly Pontiac in Bangor and Foster's Manufacturing in Mattawamkeag. So multifaceted, smart guy, and he will be missed by all of us, not just the family. So, again, our phone number, 1-800-966-1039, the text line 601-207-4478. A couple of texts come in. We'll miss Dave and blessings to his widow. Let's see, here on the Tesla police car, the Tesla police car ran out of watts because someone forgot to plug it in the night before. You got to do that. The pursuit would have been called off if the cop car ran out of gas as well. I wouldn't want to be chased by a Tesla. I wouldn't either. Somebody asked me, somebody was in the other day, said, well, when are you going to get a Tesla to sell? I think that's going to be a ways off. Tesla is in a category of cars that seem to hold their value, it'll be a few more years. Sidebar note. Interesting coincidence, odd things that happen in my world of parallel universes. There's a guy who works for Tesla. His name is J.B. Straubel. He is their chief technology officer. He's a young man. He's a brilliant technician. He called me up and bought a tank and some heat exchangers for a heating system he was putting in couple of years ago, and could have knocked me over with a feather. And nice guy. I start talking electric cars with him, and he never called me back, and I thought, well, you know, it's a size 13. I put it all in my mouth, but he did call back, and we had just been a pleasant person to deal with. We've chatted a few times. I don't talk electric cars. I talk about heating things when he calls me. And the first time he was for no second time he called in and I had a clear connection who he was. He says to me, how big's your company? I'm like, here we go, bada bing bada bang, Elon Musk is gonna buy me out. I said, well, there's three of us. Oh. So needless to say, Mr. Musk did not call with an offer. But he's been very pleasant to deal with. JB's been very pleasant to deal with. So I appreciate having the opportunity to have anybody call me. You know, everything everything we shipped out this week has gone all over the country. I think nothing in the state. We have a couple orders here in the state of Maine that we've been waiting for some materials, and they're going out this week. But the first orders we had lined up were Minnesota and Colorado, and gosh, we've got a couple more going out to Colorado. So big doing. We're big time operation. You know, this is no Mickey Mouse operation here. You know that, don't you? Even though Francis is going to cut me off, we got to go. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy the weather. This is the prime time right now.